out of disorder.
Okay. All right, we have, and I put, we have three members of the committee present this afternoon, Representative Judy Myers and Representative William Burton.
We've got a promotion.
And yes, yeah,
we're
giving you congressional status today.
Wow.
Okay. And today we're gathered here to get an update on the WCA, Westchester Children's Association. So, Ms. Greenberg, would you
just come? Don't sit down there; it's too far.
Yeah, come over here.
Yes, we'll have to yell. And then if you ask us to pass the salt, it's just too far.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having us. I'm Cora Greenberg, the executive director of the Westchester Children's Association. This is Allison Lake, the deputy director.
And Greenberg resident, so
there you go.
I remember when you were on the library board.
Yes, it's been a while. Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to do two things today. One is to bring you up to date on our activities mm-hmm. as an independent advocacy organization, and then also to talk a little bit about what's happening with the county budget. Because there's a sort of a parallel external process mm-hmm. going on that we want to let you know. So, do you want to talk about some of this, or do you want me to just talk away?
Talk away sounds like
talk
fun.
Away. Okay,
I can do that. It's scary.
I'll start, and then you can.
Okay, fine. Yeah, you start with the beginning part here. Yep.
This actually is a handout that we used recently this spring at our advisory breakfast, where we're also trying to update sort of the larger public on some of the things that we've been involved with. And the first that you'll see comes under the heading of strengthening families, and this is something that WCA has been engaged in, I'm going to say, for the past 2 years or so. It started when we were researching for a report on parenting in the county. And this report was actually released last February, 2009, and that serves me. And we've been working, I guess, for the past year on some of the recommendations in that. And the major ones was our sort of recognizing that we really wanted to see an increased use of evidence-based models for parenting programs here in the county. So we've been working with the Department of Social Service and service providers to that end. Also coming out of the report, we had our spring advocacy breakfast last year, and we had a sample of an evidence-based model called the Nurse Family Partnership came and presented. I think Judy, you were at that breakfast as well. And a lot of excitement was generated out of that. And so for the past year, we've had a work group, a home visiting work group, which this first page sort of speaks to, looking at what exists first here in the county in terms of parenting programs, and also trying to identify that population of the county that could best be served by home visiting programs, new moms, young moms, low-income families, and then trying to, as best we can, sort of advocate for increased use of home visiting, really anticipating federal funding coming to the states for home visiting, and happy to say that with the signage this morning of health reform, there is money in the health reform bill for home visiting, $1.5 billion, I believe, over the next 5 years is supposed to come through states to do that. So now is the time, really, for us to do our homework on home visiting, because they definitely have set out those kind of priority populations that will access this funding. So we're excited by that, and that has taken a good bit of my time at WCA, and sort of keeping those pieces and those balls in the air. I would skip on the second page, and we had written about our data work, and I'm sure all of you know that WCA did publish Westchester Children by the Numbers now 2 years ago, and our online version went up last year, which is really a tool to all of our advocacy work, and we do plan in the months ahead to sort of use the data, particularly looking at those 0 to 5, that population, again, giving us sort of the background to move forward on home visiting and other parenting programs. So the data work continues to be, I would say, sort of a backbone of WCA's advocacy work, and you know, has allowed not just advocates, but I hope elected officials and the public at large to really get a better sense of how children and youth fare here in the county. So those are two big pieces. And
yep, and I'll back up to the improving outcomes for older youth. Back in 2005, Westchester County, impelled by a change in state regulations requiring more young people in foster care to be prepared for independent living, let out a contract to Children's Village called Pathways to Adulthood. A lot of that RFP and what they were requiring to have happen in that contract to support older youth and be preparing for independence was based on another sort of briefing paper that we had done on the needs of older youth in foster care. We were very gratified because some of the outcomes that they were looking for were lifted directly from our report as to, you know, making sure kids had opportunities to participate in planning for their own independence and had opportunities to acquire skills and even get the right documentation they needed, so like they'd have their original Social Security cards and things like that. And then once Children's Village started that project, they formed an advisory group, and we've been chairing that advisory group since then and ongoing. And that has led us into this whole world of older kids involved in all of our systems, high-end systems like juvenile justice, like foster care, like kids who drop out of school and are then unemployed, and that larger group of kids are called disconnected youth. And so we've been working on PAD and had some successes with your help in bringing some new resources to that foster care population, but now we're trying to broaden our view a little bit and look at kids who, you know, sort of, but for the grace of God, could have been in any of these systems. It's one of the things that I think is important, and we've been emphasizing in looking again at the budget piece, but that young people and families in need come to the attention of disparate systems almost by chance. So you can have a family that comes into child welfare, but they just as easily could have come into the special education system, the mental health system, maybe the juvenile justice or the criminal justice system, the substance abuse system. It doesn't matter. They're the same families. And that is very, very true on the disconnected youth side, for sure, that whether a child, a young person, has been arrested doesn't mean that they couldn't have been arrested, you know, or if they've shown up at the homeless shelter or they're just sleeping on someone's couch or you name it. You know, there's so many different variations, but it's kind of by luck where they seem to pop up or if they pop up. I want to say one more thing about the data that has been very helpful to us. We had been thinking and struggling for years with how could we bring into the discussion of children's issues a perspective of racial equity. And the data has really allowed us to do that in a very straightforward way that is kind of irrespective of who the messenger is, that the data speaks for itself. I just came from an all-day conference that DSS was part of on addressing disproportional minority representation in foster care and juvenile justice. You know, once you have the data, there's sort of no way you can forget about it. And it really permeates the work on the home visiting, it permeates the work on the older youth, and all of these different issues that we come up to. It's not a separate issue area, but it's something that we try to keep that lens focused on every issue that we're looking at, because it is such a pervasive fact of life when we look at the systems that we're responsible for as a county. Finally, I'll come to the adequate public policies and investments for children. As you know, each year in the budget process, we as an organization, also as the leader of a couple of different coalitions, are in here talking about what kids need in the budget. And last year we were thrilled that we really didn't lose too much in the budget. We gained some on child care. We held the line on a few other things that we were really concerned about. When the county executive came out with his proposed cuts to the 2010 budget, we really got very upset, as you know, because so much of the reductions were in the Department of Social Services, which has the responsibility of caring for the most vulnerable families and children, and that some of them seemed downright counterproductive to us. Things where to save $200,000, you'd be losing $1 million overall, you know, in state matching and things like that, or reducing expenditures for community-based prevention services, which are making possible your savings on the foster care side, you know, which you're very happy about. So it really didn't seem like such a great idea. We started hearing from all of our service mm-hmm. provider partners and advocacy partners and tried to pull together some ideas of what the impact of these cuts would be. And then last Friday we had a meeting with the county executive and the commissioner of social services with myself, Kathy Hallis, Susan Wayne from Family Services of West Arista, and Felice Harris from the Lois Bronze Children's Center mm-hmm. to discuss what we thought were the problems with those cuts. Mm-hmm. It was a very cordial meeting. Unfortunately, Rob had just come out of another meeting where he learned that he just lost $4 million in state transportation aid, so it wasn't a great lead into our meeting. But I'm not sure we changed anybody's mind, although Kevin Mann did say the COPS cuts at that point, he said, are not set in stone. So that's how we ended Friday. I know that there have been further meetings today. We then met yesterday. We had with our advocacy partners, and you'll probably be hearing from people, because basically what we encourage everybody to do and what everybody agreed to do mm-hmm. was to start communicating with all of our elected officials mm-hmm. about what these reductions really mean for people mm-hmm. on the ground. We're going to be writing letters to the newspaper. We're going we want to change these cuts, but we're also looking ahead to 2011 because we need to start articulating. The way I think about it is, if you're tightening your family budget, you don't start cutting what your children need first. That should be the last thing you look at. Exactly. And that's what we'd like our county to do, too, is to really look at every other possible place to save before we start cutting services to kids. And that's kind of what we put forward to the county executive as what we hoped his philosophy could come closer to. Mm-hmm. There are... Certainly, we're not, and I would just say for the provider community, I don't think anybody's naive to think that there won't be need to be cuts, but what we hope for is that all of the planning and the interagency cooperation and the partnerships that we have will count for something, and that the voice of community agencies can be part of the input when it comes to making cuts, because what we want to try to do is preserve the most essential resources so that we can't just nickel and dime everybody to death until everything falls apart. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of what we were hoping for. And again, probably what you'll be hearing from people is about the child care, about the COPS, and really about the philosophy of how we go about trimming. People were saying, let's cut government, not services.
Did you?
Yes.
When you met with the county executive,
yes.
He said he didn't give you any positive... Any joy?
No, he was basically focused on trying to explain to us how bad it really is.
Okay.
But Kevin Mann did say that, first of all, Kevin said that it was his decision to make those cuts, mm-hmm. that he was not given a target by the county executive, and that was his decision. So, and at the end, he said the COPS cuts were not set in stone, and he was going to go back and discuss with the other affected departments how they might be looking at that again. But he was pretty adamant about the child care.
Did the county executive, however, give you any assurance or lend any credence to your philosophy about children? You shouldn't cut young people and children's programs first. This should be one of the last things you should cut.
No, I didn't get any positive response on that. But we did get an open invitation to keep the conversation going. So I thought that was positive.
Okay, we've been joined by Mr. Testa.
Cora Greenberg, hello.
Hi, Allison Lake.
Nice to meet you.
Legislative Meyer.
Regarding child care, he was including both the county scholarship fund as well as Title 23?
Yes, yes. As well as the parent share going up. Yeah, that's all in that million and a half.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's hard to quantify. We know there will be some children who will have to leave regulated care, and that may, you know, they may find wonderful places to be, or they may not. We know there will be some people who will stop working. And one of the things that we're trying to do, as the provider community is trying to do, is to connect with employers who can speak about what it means to them to have a stable mm-hmm. workforce that is not worried about their children all day and mm-hmm. can concentrate on what they're doing. Mm-hmm. We're really trying to bring, we'd like to try to bring some new voices to mm-hmm. the conversation of businesses and law enforcement that can speak about what these soft programs mean in terms of dollars and cents and in terms of community safety and, you know, a lot of other things. So
I would also add that, you know, one of the things that, so there are two large coalitions that WCA chairs. One is the Campaign for Kids and the other is the Child Health Advocacy Network. And, you know, we struggle throughout the year to sort of get this group to help us prioritize for children. I mean, I think we all realize the difficult budget, you know, season we're in, both at the local, state, and federal. So everything can happen. But I think the conversations like the meeting we had yesterday where we try to say to people, you know, not just to think of your own particular agency or the own field that you're in, but as Cora said, these families touch an array of sort of agencies and services, and really what are the sort of, you know, minimum requirements that any of us want for our children and for our youth. And so we definitely, we have our work cut out for us mm-hmm. too, as we go through, I think, this year, working up to the 2011 budget, but we are trying to do that.
I just made a burden.
Thank you. Well, we had some worse news this afternoon when we were talking in Legislator Kaplowitz's meeting on government operations and efficiency savings. The county executive's office of the person, George Oros, was down to talk about what we call the B-level submission to the state government for things that we would like to change. And we broke it into two parts, budgetary things that we needed to get, because it appears that the legislature actually is driving toward an April 1st budget.
I know.
Which may actually happen. And while the fraud that the Senate perpetrated yesterday is the start of that, the fact that the Senate essentially accepted somewhere in the range of $3 billion worth of cuts, including to education, even if they faked the funding, the financial side of it, the revenue side of it. But that's trouble. And how that's all going to ripple through is one question. But the second thing that we talked about were other areas that are being cut. A certain section of TANF, which is worth about $885,000. The state has just dropped it. But the county has a mandate to provide the service. Mm-hmm. So the county now has to go find $885,000 mm-hmm. from somewhere to backfill that. There's no choice. It's not that they fooled with a formula. It's not that it was 100% federally funded. It's that it's gone. Mm-hmm. But the mandate remains. I don't know exactly what the analogy is, but it isn't good. Mm-hmm. And all of the sudden, that kind of money, which isn't chicken feed under the best of circumstances, is going to have, I mean, somebody's pocket is going to be picked, or somebody's programs are simply going to go in order to meet the mandate. Mm-hmm. So I guess my concern for you guys is that look toward the programs that you are mandated to do, and be sure that you are, if you can, direct your funding there, and then recognize the real problems that the losing the optional money. COPS is a good example of this. I mean, I'm not sure whether we've got to step back on it, but the truth of the matter is it's called COPS for a reason. The O stands for optional. Mm-hmm. And it's unsustainable. Mm-hmm. We're just not going to be able to do this. Mm-hmm. And all the bloodletting in this budget in 2010 mm-hmm. is simply a prelude to 11.
Understood.
And this is not vindictive on the part of the county executive. Andy Spano, I suspect, would be doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us weren't particularly happy with Andy's budget for 09, but we had to do. At least we got the tax rate down, but that didn't cut any ice with the voters either. So we've got a lot of stuff that's coming on. I hope you've been able to encourage your organizations, your member organizations, and the people that you represent to really be prepared for the programs that are simply going to disappear at the state level, but have the leftover impact, ghost impact.
No, I think people are definitely prepared for that. I guess I feel like our job as advocates is to encourage government to, well, for example, one of the things the county executive said to us is that the administration is having conversations with contractors about going to 90% of their contract.
Right. Now, you've not heard of these conversations because they apparently are having them on background and are not necessarily running them through your organization.
No, they have nothing to do with us.
Right.
They're having these conversations with the folks that they have contracts with.
They already have contracts.
Right. And I asked, do you mean the nonprofit service contractors or do you mean all your contractors? Mm-hmm. He said all. And I'm very curious about that. I want to know, are the law firms that contract with the county attorney's office, are they getting a 10% cut? Mm-hmm. Are the road people, or the who are all, I mean, there's a lot of contractors to the county.
What compromises all?
I want to know if those people are getting 10% cuts.
And you know what the answer is.
But
the answer is no.
Well, I think that's a terrible answer, right?
Right.
Because
it is. But
so,
it's,
but who's? I guess my question to you, the legislators, is you are someone on the legislature, is part of ANC, and that's where that oversight has to happen. Because to make these cuts only to services for vulnerable, we have to cut, fine, then we need to share the pain. Mm-hmm. We need to look at the $22 million of overtime in the county budget. Doesn't all have to go, but some of that could go.
You're talking to
me. I know. I'm backing her up.
It is overtime here.
But it's true. I mean, overtime is almost, it's along with, optional in some cases.
Well, just Judy will tell you, but I'm just because I know a little bit about this as well. Mm-hmm. The prisons, the probation department, these sorts
some of
things.
Right.
These are
safety
not only are they mandated in the sense that you have a prison, you must man it up to certain levels, and a probation department, you must provide that service, and so you can't go after those. And we have had commissioners in here to tell us that the rather sophisticated approach that they go through. It doesn't matter who gets the overtime. The question is whether the overtime is needed.
Correct.
And they move people around. They will depopulate a given cell block if it turns out that we don't have enough prisoners or they've got two that are 75%. You throw them into one. All of these sorts of things. It's not as though they haven't looked at this. The problem is a revenue problem.
It is.
Honest to goodness, it's more of a revenue problem than it is a expenditure problem.
I agree with you.
Did you read the New York Times editorial?
No. Mm-hmm. It would only depress me further.
Well, it's a revenue problem in every state.
It is. But it becomes more of a revenue problem if tax is a four-letter word.
Right. Well, and that's, of course, the presumption of the entire crisis that the county executive laid out, is that he is proposing that he will only accept a zero increase next year.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That may or may not be true, but 2% is $11 million. If you raise the taxes next year 2%, that's $11.4 million on our current thing. $11.4 million isn't going to go very far.
No, it's
so
not.
We have a problem here.
We do. All I'm asking is that contract agencies who provide vital services be part of the conversation about which services are expendable, and that the pain is shared across departments, and not 40% of the contract coming out of DSS.
Yeah, the contractors who build the roads, of course, they're in a bid situation. So what will happen is
we're in a bid situation too.
Right, but I'm saying those, and this is the bad news part of that: a road project will be canceled.
That's fine.
Well, but carry the analogy back: we'll cancel out a program.
That's okay, but
we don't want to. You're talking to four people.
I know that.
Really,
I understand that, but I guess I'm suggesting that there may be better ways to plan ahead for what we know is coming, which it does not have to be totally adversarial, because you have, I would say, the administration has very willing partners in the service community to have this conversation.
Yeah.
Whether or not they have willing partners in the road construction, I have no idea. But all I'm saying is it should not start with cuts to children's services.
You have done something already that is the most important thing, which is that you have now gotten entree that the county executive will pick up the phone when you call. you're not going to call every day, but he will pick you will get your call picked up or returned. That's a really big deal. But on the other side, frankly, is that you can't protect everything and neither can we.
I don't want to protect everything.
No, you should. I mean,
I understand.
That's not realistic.
Yeah, you're both saying the same thing in a lot of ways.
That's all. But I do think it's a philosophical issue.
Yeah.
And we'll try. Lord does. I mean, John was mayor of Peekskill. He knows more than
most
people.
A lot of this also has to do with meeting the, and I think you and I spoke on the phone about this, if I may, meeting the objectives of what's allocated in the budget. Mm-hmm. And I think that is probably the most true test that we will come to when it comes time to decide what gets cut in the budget and what doesn't. Those areas where we can meet the objectives for less money will be cut. Those where we can't will be the ones that we probably choose as our battles. I mean, we can't battle over we'll have to pick our battles because we are going to have to, A, come in this year with enough of a fund balance to help for next year, and then do more cutting next year.
Right.
Unless all of a sudden revenues turn around.
Yeah.
The market didn't tank yesterday, and a lot of people thought it would.
Oh, that's good.
So that's good. And it's up today.
It's up almost 0.21, at least the last time I looked. But,
I mean,
anybody's counting on that stuff.
It's not fun temporary. Times. Mm-hmm. This is not.
Jordan came down with a piece of information that had only gotten a couple of days ago. The 3-year forecast of the county's share of the retirement system. Mm-hmm. We are currently at, our share is $54 million. But because it's a 3-year trailing average of the stock market, the projection is of the current direction of the market that in 2013, 3 budgets from now, the county share will be $117 million. An increase of $113 million. It is enormous. It is unsustainable. It will wipe out everything else. We will be running a government for the purposes of funding retirement for the employees,
exactly.
And there won't be as many of them left. There is going to have to be a complete review of virtually everything we do.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I think that been listening to gloom and doom ever since I took office.
Yeah, you really nice. Welcome.
John, you and I.
You want to rescind that election?
Yeah, really. Never mind.
But one of the things I've been thinking about is the fact that rather than letting the county executive and his chief advisors draw your agenda, because basically I think that's what he's trying to do at this point. And I'm not saying this in an adversarial relationship kind of thing. I'm just thinking about it in terms of services to those, to that population that's most needing, which I agree with you, are our children. At an umbrella agency like yours could be very helpful in terms of pulling all of the nonprofits together and looking at those things which you just espoused a little while ago, those that are the most necessary services, and looking at how could you maintain at least those minimum services at what level, at what cost, and providing us with that kind of information so that at least we have an idea of, for instance, I mean, you know, we've been told in some areas there's going to be nothing or no one wants to spend anything. If we know what your baseline is, more or less, we can get an idea of what, and I know that with all of the experience we have around this table, we have some ideas already, but I think you can be very helpful along those lines, mm-hmm. because at least you will be part of setting the agenda and not sort of brought in at the tail end and saying,
right.
you know, well, we think this program is going to work, and you have, you know, documented information that you know, that particular program may be the most minimal in terms of providing services.
Right, right.
So I would like to see if you could work up some sort of agenda with those agencies that you deal with, and because there are a great many programs, and I think Melanie and I met with Michelle Gross from Albany yesterday
about that.
You know, she's talking about this project that they're working on, and they've gotten they're getting stimulus package money to do it, and it would seem that having that box available to young mothers and or mothers of all ages, whatever, with the idea that this, you know, here's a resource that you can go and look at this DVD and decide, you know, what kind of services you need and what have you, that may be able to save some costs, and you can reach out to this kind of agency and what have you.
Right.
So this is the kind of thing that I'm thinking.
That's a great suggestion.
But it's all gloom and doom, and the only, you know, rather than, you know, stand up like Chicken Little and say, oh, the sky is falling, you know, I think we need to be sort of proactive in terms of looking at, because you're on the front line, or the agencies you work with are, and they know, you know, what the needs are.
Yeah, I know.
The administration, when we had Kevin in here last week, the administration proposed allowing a contract with My Sister's Place for interviewing intake for domestic violence, will be the right word, not candidates, but people coming into the system, to expire.
Yes.
Correct.
They would bring it in-house.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Now, we didn't get into whether or not they're competent to do this, because generally Kevin doesn't lie to us. Mm-hmm. Never does Kevin lie to us. He says he can do it, and
they told us when they were here that they could do it.
What he's talking about. Yeah,
so, not Kevin, but
yeah.
Diane
said they were getting training.
Now, if that's true, this could be the beginning of a series of contracts that will be dropped, not renewed. Mm-hmm. Whether they impact My Sister's Place or just who they do this to, and again, this is not punitive. This is just simply trying to put your staff to work to replace things that have been outsourced, because we have always operated on the outsource model. It's always been the approach that the county government has. We're not going to staff up to do this. We're going to outsource to the nonprofit community. I don't know how much taking in the existing staff can do, and particularly if things get really bad, and then at the end of the year, the layoffs are start to roll out. Then what do you do?
Well, and particularly since a county employee costs so much more than a nonprofit employee.
But a county employee that's utilized 75% and who can take on the intake of DV costs you nothing.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't work at DSS. So
right. No, I'm just saying. But
I have my opinion.
Nobody
there is working
75%. You're now negotiating against yourself, aren't you?
No, I don't think so. I'm saying that the notion that the services that are out there that support and enhance and collaborate with the services that DSS provides is unrealistic to think that those can be done within DSS. The reason that the collaboration was put in place, and those of you who were around when it happened, it was touted. It was DSS rolled that out and made such a fuss about what a great thing it was, and why it was such a great thing, and why it was so important, and how it was going to help their workers do a better job on CPS.
We know. So that nonprofit workers are decidedly less expensive than county employees.
Right.
We know that. That's why we do it.
Right. But you said if you have a county employee who's working at 75% of capacity, there aren't any.
Well, Kevin just told us that there are some.
I disagree with him.
Right. So are
I'm
we,
not the commissioner.
Right. No, the question is, are we faking this in the short run in order to make savings? If so, then we're about to find out.
Yeah.
Suppose that, in point of fact, there are at least some places. I don't know where they would be, and I don't know what they would do, and I don't know what contracts. I mean, there may be 3-year contracts out there that you can't cancel, or it would cost too much to cancel. This is going to be going on all over the place, because Kevin's area is a third of the budget, and a third of the budget means a third of the the thinking. It's also shot full of mandates and
right.
and enormous amounts of state and federal funding, yeah, which means, as you said earlier, mm-hmm. you cut a program and you wind up giving up 90% mm-hmm. of your revenue back to the feds, which I'm sure they'd love, and mm-hmm. another 5% to the state. And
right.
so we and save all
worse,
5%.
What's
big deal.
Worse is that it's not even current year, that a lot of these programs are on, you know, they are rolling kind of thing. So we may be doing okay this year, but if we spend less next year,
and you'll get
then
less
we get
the
even less
year.
The following year. So it's that kind of thing where it's a diminishing pot that
well,
you're.
Well, they're on top of this, and as it goes. I represent the area where Open Door was founded.
Mm-hmm.
I live and die by how well Austin Children's Center does. I mean,
right.
these things mean a lot to
right.
me, and I'm not going to willingly give them up. But I'm. Like everybody else here,
right.
John and Judy and Alfreda, see it coming.
Yeah,
we're tied to the tracks, and the railroad train's coming around the bend. So,
well,
what are we going to do? And the answer is, we don't know.
Yeah.
You know.
No.
You, the provider community, know.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to go into your own councils and decide what you're going to do. And
yeah.
Of course, you don't say, "Well, your agency, you're at." You're finished. No.
No, but I do think
but
we
how
said,
do we do
that
it?
Was a conversation around the
yeah.
table yesterday.
You
people saying,
that.
You know what, if we're going to be serious partners in this,
yep.
we are going to have to go back and meet in our communities
mm-hmm.
and talk turkey
right.
about we cannot have, we may not be able to have three after school programs within two blocks of each other.
Right.
So
exactly. That's where
yeah.
we rely on
yeah.
you.
Yeah. So we
that's
may have
to be able to say
exactly
to us, you know,
yeah.
in a perfect world, yes, but we're not perfect right now. So.
Well,
and that's the hard work that I said that we have to do with our coalition.
Well,
Howard,
it also
Howard
it's your
over.
Coalition. It's Westchester Women's Agenda.
It's yeah, it's,
yeah.
it's all
well,
in
it's all
the
of them. Right.
Howard
it's even the junior.
Took
I
over.
Mean, you and I sit on that board together.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think they need to
understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Howard Milbert took over a nonprofit child care organization operated out of the local Methodist church, one of the local Methodist churches. Couldn't have been three blocks away, and there probably will be another one.
Mm-hmm.
That he may very well take over. So it's all over. Kathy laid that out for us 2-3 years ago whenever
right.
that report came out.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have been nice to get ahead of the curve, but that wasn't
yeah.
the reality of it. Now we're around the curve and there's that train.
Well, I just said this to Kathy yesterday too, the good news of a crisis like this, if there is any, is hardly any, but it does force people to
yes.
make some hard choices. And some of
and
those
to be
choices,
creative.
And
yeah.
to be creative.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. some of those choices may, in the long run, strengthen
sure.
services
mm-hmm.
and make things better, you know, mm-hmm. for families and kids. That's our bottom line. And I doesn't mean that you have to, that we can, in good conscience, support the fact that there should be no cuts to anything. It doesn't. That's not sensible. We're just trying to reorder the priorities a little bit.
And also, I would add that, especially as we look to sort of streamline everything, and to your statement about bringing things back in house, I think an important part for all of us going forward would be then to monitor and evaluate
yes.
those services.
Yes.
And that came out when we were doing our parenting report. And how do we say that this program is sort of meeting its objectives.
Right.
And if we are taking something from, to use the example of my sister's place, and bringing it in-house, what are going to be the mechanisms that, you know, everyone can agree that a year from now, 2 years from now, we'll look back and say this worked or it didn't work. And I think that transparency and those things need to be in place up front so that we can all sort of look back at the data and the information.
Well, the easy part then would be to cut anything and then leave it to you guys 2 years later to say, whoops, big mistake, fellas. I think we've got to be a lot tougher about that. And
except that goes to this New York Times editorial that says these are going to become the children of the recession.
Yes.
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 You know, I mean, whatever happens to kids now, they will carry with them.
That's it.
I mean, these are kids who are not going to be in qualified, licensed child care. For that one example, whose parents either won't work or, more seriously, they will probably continue to work, but they will dump the kids in front of a TV set in unsafe conditions very often. And those kids will be behind the eight ball when they get into to public school. You know, I mean, it's just...
Yeah, I mean, just to give you an example of one of the COPS programs, I don't know all of them. There's a lot of them.
But one is run by WJCS. It's called Youth Success or something like that. And it is for young people who have been adjudicated JDs but are not going to be placed. Mm-hmm. And it's an intensive kind of family support, counseling, blah, 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 blah. They serve 45 kids a year. But if they keep one of those kids out of jail, pay for the...
Right. Yes. Well, that's what's a year in jail. What are we?
So, you know, it's that kind of thing. These are not huge programs. They're very targeted programs in that case. It's that kind of thing. You don't get a second chance. You have this young person. They're 15 years old. They're a JD. If you don't do this now, you will then have a 16-year-old inmate. That's what happens. At 16, you know, that's then you're... Now you're an adult in the criminal justice system.
Then let's flip it over and say, all right, what's it worth to keep a licensed child care facility going versus three grandma down the street, watch television all day programs? Mm-hmm. Let's quantify that one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't think we can. I don't think we can monitor what Mike Kaplan was fond of saying, monetize that spread. I think we know what the outcomes are compared to nothing. Mm-hmm. We know that the outcomes are superior.
Mm-hmm.
But laying these two out and trying to make a financial difference. So the easy way is to kill off the licensed daycare operators because that's where the money is.
That's what costs us. No, the grandma doesn't cost the county anything.
Right, no. Exactly right. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And it permits mom, because it's always mom, to continue to work.
Mm-hmm.
Because now instead of paying the 25% share of a licensed daycare center, the family is paying 100% of grandma down the street.
Mm-hmm.
But that's going to be more or less the same, so she can continue to work. The quality of the care of the child goes down. All sorts of other things go down, but the county is saying,
grandma gets sick and can't do it anymore.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
Well, that is not
the
same. It's one grandma or another.
Well,
I've got two of them in my neighborhood, and they're wonderful, well-meaning people. But it's
Of course they are.
So,
well,
but it does. I mean, it does make me wonder. I don't know if it's on the record, but I agree with you. There do seem to be other things, but then again, you get those advocacy groups in here too. But I'm just thinking out loud, well, so what if the grass is a little bit longer on a county golf course?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so you have to search harder for your ball.
There
you are. And now the
commissioner
of Parks and Recreation
but
will
now,
come in and point
exactly.
out to you that
we need all that recreation.
Well, but 80% of his department is funded by revenue.
I know that.
That's true.
And so we start slicing it out. Well, it turns out all the golf courses except the one in Hudson Hills break even by the accounting systems of the day.
Mm-hmm.
But the one that doesn't is Playland.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the summer jobs engine of Westchester County.
Yes, totally.
That's a social service program.
Mm-hmm.
When we were talking today about the another thing that George came up with was that the state is apparently going to cut back on a program that pays for summer jobs for kids.
Yep.
And then we're talking about 400 kids. Well, I don't know how many kids are employed at Playland.
And that's TANF money.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the TANF money. Well, the Senate version put that back in.
I know.
I don't know what
we'll
that
see what
is.
But we see where the guns are going. In effect, Playland's $5 million or $3 million loss, whatever it is a subsidy, is a child summer jobs program. Just happens to be focused on
depending. We've never seen the exact numbers for how many Westchester kids.
How many Westchester kids as opposed to how many Bronx kids.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so it goes.
It's a mess.
I don't want to be in your shoes. You don't want to be in my shoes.
Well, I mean, we're all in the same boat. That's
we're all
right.
In
but
shoes.
We should recognize the fact that we are all in the same boat. I mean, advocacy doesn't mean adversarial. I think we want to keep raising that, certainly not with this group, but we want to just keep raising the issue and framing it in terms of the young people that are our business and make sure that they are somewhere on the list.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we sort of got the feeling when that press release came out, and I said this to the county executive, that, wow, the guns were pointed to DSS and Children's Services. And why was that? Why do you have more than a third of... And it's not, I know it's a big department, but...
What was his answer?
Yes. He didn't answer that.
Well,
Judy
and I and Alfreda will say this because the Republican member is no longer with us. They are. Let's not kill ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Children don't vote.
Yes.
And nor do poor people, and nor do Right. So on and so on. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's where it's going. Our job is to fight back.
Exactly. Yeah. And I do think we can utilize, if as long as this legal opinion is valid, that we can utilize this meeting the objective of the budget. Mm-hmm. And use that as a...
You mean when we appropriate money,
when we look to disappropriate money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And yes, and we're the guys who make the cuts, but all that does is now we get to be the bad guys.
Now we get
terrific.
Yeah.
You really don't want this job.
glad to hear
we'll
the good news
now,
that you brought was that the cops cuts were not set in stone, because that cops funding does help a lot.
Oh, yeah.
So many different programs.
Absolutely, it does. So I'm waiting to hear.
And Kevin's always been so creative.
There's a lot of conversations. There was a meeting yesterday between the commissioners and Marlene, and looking at that again. I don't know what the outcome is yet. I think it's all still in process, but hopefully by the end of the week. Because, of course, the agencies are waiting to find out if they have a contract or they don't, or what it's for, or... all that, and it's very...
When we were talking about the My Sister's Place contract, it was an odd
date. There's much more to it.
But there are... That was the date thing.
That's just when the contract expires, then. That's why.
So, but contracts expire the end of March, the end of April, the end of May?
Always.
Or I thought there was a block... They tended to expire together.
Often is whenever they started.
Oh, I see. So it's not... It's a year contract, but it doesn't necessarily, they don't all expire at the same time or anything like that.
It's whenever the program started.
Okay, right. whenever the last sign contracts are.
Right.
Okay.
You know, after
so
the
we
RFP.
Can't we can't say, well, the end of April expire on that means that all the other end of April contracts will be dealt with or all the My Sister's Place contracts have now been dealt with or whatever. So
this is just one as it pops up.
It's whack-a-mole. So it's
whack-a-mole
here.
Mm-hmm. Right. Whack-a-mole, right.
Whack-a-mole.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for coming.
Thank you
Thanks
for providing
for
us with
us.
This. Keep us in the loop.
Thank you for being good listeners and not throwing anything at us.
But it does, as you had said, I think the letters to the editor are going to help.
Yes.
I think having people come to board meetings and, I mean, well, you've seen, we are often in our Board of Legislator meetings, the public comment period, it's very often just two or three people who say the same things every time, or sing to
exactly.
us.
Exactly. Yeah.
Although the singer hasn't
Tom
been
Bach
here lately.
Oh, I think he's been barred.
Oh. He's barred from the
Oh, we barred him now?
Yes.
He was very inappropriate with one of our employees.
Oh, great. Bless whoever it was who was sacrificed for that. Good.
So we all had people
come
talking about.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, the Ed Reilly move of last night, I think we should get him barred as well.
That's his. Oh, he had pictures.
Yes, he had pictures.
It was disgusting. He pulled the same thing on me on Sunday at my town meeting.
Oh,
really?
So, as far as I'm concerned, he's over too.
But it does help, I think, to get, and not just at budget time.
And
any kind of, I mean, I think it's time for the press to hear a pushback.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And yes, we all agree we're in dire straits, but let's not cut.
Let's not make things
children.
Worse.
Right.
And where are we going to get by balancing this?
Yes.
I mean, the budget is balanced, so I can't even say we're balancing
backs
of children. But
County executive trying to keep talking about 2011, I said, but we're still in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to 2011, and we have a lot to talk about. But
in the first quarter.
But this is 2010.
Well, but Judy said it earlier. We're operating in an environment where we have traditionally had a surplus of approximately $31 million.
Mm-hmm.
If we follow our prior procedure, we know, or will know shortly, what the fund balance is that will be rolled into 11, and it isn't going to be $31 million.
Right.
Estimated that it would be $9 million the last time we looked. Apparently, it's grown to about 17, but there's some cheerful estimates on that.
Right.
That's for 11. We already got that's the whole.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're talking about for the 12 budget, which will be done by this budget.
Right.
They've got to have, and they do have, at least a 3-year perspective on
sure.
this. So cutting now is a good thing, not a bad thing. Anything that falls to the bottom line and is therefore saved is a good thing, not a bad thing. Because this is going to be worse next year.
It is
going to
be worse.
It's probably
going to
be worse, or at least no better the year following. And so that's why they're putting that's why they're going after this year's budget, because mm-hmm. they've got to. They've got to go after this year's budget. That's why Kevin announced what was really not a cut, but the savings.
Normally. I mean, he returns that kind of money a lot, normally, but you don't normally need to announce it at the beginning of the year.
We're talking about the foster care
situation. Absolutely.
And maybe that'll work. Maybe that'll happen, and maybe it won't. And that's why I sort of cross-examined him about if you're booking it now, but you will use it if the situation turns around. He said absolutely.
Yes.
But when he was talking about the Title 20 and when he was talking about the parent copay and when he was talking about the scholarships, those are cuts.
Those are real cuts.
So it falls into at least two categories.
Right.
And we're going to see more of them. So, you know,
every
committee in this board that has any sort of operational oversight is going to be examining this $117 million cut like we did last week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to talk about this.
It is exhausting, isn't it? Yeah,
it's debilitating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks again for coming.
Thank you very much
for your good humor.
Pleasure to see you.
Appreciate your
thank
input.
You. Yes.
Okay. Next week we'll have Child Care Counselor Westchester.
I am not going to be here next Tuesday.
No, that's April 6th.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm a week ahead of myself.
My sister's place.
I will not be here next Tuesday.
Because next week is your holiday, right?
Yep.
Okay. All right. I guess I can entertain a motion
so
to
moved.
Adjourn.
Sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Can we turn that off?
I want to turn it off.
Thank you, Alfreda.
Thank you, Alfreda. Now we can all cry.